Acts chapter 16. A couple of weeks ago, we watched God set up a new team with Paul and with Silas, and we watched as he moved new people into place. And Silas, of course, was one of the ones strategically located. And then we came across God giving a son in the faith to Paul. And remember what his name is? Timothy. Yeah, Timothy. And the very man, Paul, who had stood against circumcision in the flesh as being a necessity of salvation and sanctification, had Timothy circumcised. The very man who fought the battle we spent five lessons on in Acts 15 in the convention, and he was the main one propounding grace and salvation by grace through Christ. You don't need circumcision, etc. Turns around and has Timothy circumcised. Well, the reason, as you understand, is not for sanctification or salvation purposes, but simply because Timothy was going to be ministering to the Jews right side by side with Paul, and it was expedient, if you will, in order to reach more people for Christ, that he go ahead and have Timothy circumcised. Remember, Timothy was raised in the faith by his mother and his grandmother. They had been Jewish on that side, but his father had not allowed him to be circumcised. And we think that by the time Paul met him, his mother was, of course, a widow, and that Timothy then was ready to become a full-fledged man on his own accord and move into ministry, and he moved into relationship with Paul to do so. Now what we're going to see this morning is really exciting. As a young team, Paul and Silas and Timothy, and even Luke joins them, we begin to see the "we" pronoun used in Scripture as Paul is accompanied by Luke now on his travels. And we see them try to find the leading of the Spirit. Now, I think I'm probably in safe company when I look at everyone and ask this question. Anybody in this room ever have a struggle trying to figure out what is the will of God? Come on, anybody ever have any difficulty? Yeah, that's right. Which particular moment, huh? It's following this Holy Spirit, it's there's growth that comes to it. There are certain ways to be able to become a candidate, to have better hearing for the Lord. But what we all need to do as Christians is be conformed to His image, and we need to follow the leading of His Holy Spirit. When you were a little kid, did you ever play follow the leader? Yeah, not too well, some of us, right? I want to be the leader. Well, anyway, nevertheless, we want to follow the leader. And who is the leader? In this case specifically, this morning, we want to talk about following the leader, the Holy Spirit. Pastor Carl had a great message last week, and he talked about how big our God is, remember? And yes, He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And though we refer to Him as the Holy Spirit, He is a person, a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus. And in the Bible, He's called the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God. But the most important thing is we have this fantastic relationship with a God who is living and alive. How many are glad you have a living relationship with a living God? And He wants to speak to you and me. And so we want to be those who hear. We want to put ourselves in a place where we can hear Him better than ever. We want to follow where God is leading. You understand, don't you, that life is a lot better when you do it God's way and when you follow Him. And when you don't follow Him, it ain't so hot, right? I didn't see any hands in this place, but I'll bet all of them can go up. Anybody ever veer off course ever, once or twice in your life? Okay, aren't you glad God, by grace, brings you back on? Yeah, some of you said, oh man, if you could only read my diary. But thank God He works with imperfect vessels. He keeps working with us. And there is a following of Him that is essential for us. Let's go to Acts 16. And our verses this morning especially will be in Acts 16, verses 6 through 15. Verses 6 through 15. I'm reading from the New King James. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were, say it with me, I'm reading from New King James, whatever it is in your version, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Whoa, that's powerful. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. By the way, that doesn't mean for all time. You understand, in the will of God, sometimes it's yes, no, or not now. This is one of those not nows. But it was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit, say it with me, did not permit them. Verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia, and what? Help us. Do you know very few people today are willing to say help? Very few people are willing to humble themselves enough to say, I need help, would you please help me? This vision was a man from Macedonia saying, come and help us. Verse 10. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. Verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. We sat down and we spoke to the women who met there. Verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple. And Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry, their alma mater. What are the colors of University of Washington? Purple and gold. Purple. The Lord opened her heart. Oh, I'm sorry. Now a woman, she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now, I'm not going to preach this morning on baptism, but I do want you to know when it says she and her household, it means those under her influence. It doesn't give a verse of justification for infant baptism. I am convinced of the scripture, and in our congregation, we will dedicate children to the Lord, but infant baptism does not seem to be the way of the New Testament, and there are multitudes of sincere people who believe that. Fine, no problem. We're not here to offend you, but we have to build our doctrine on the preponderance of Scripture. And the preponderance or the overwhelming leading and counsel of Scripture looks like baptism for adults who had repented first. Okay, you understand that? We talked about that when we discussed water baptism. But this is an issue of Lydia being moved on by the Spirit and everyone in her influence coming under that same moving of the Spirit. What a powerful influencer this woman is. So she persuaded us. So she's persuading her household. She's persuading Paul and the apostolic team. This is a woman who's hungry for God. Anybody in this room hungry for God? That was Lydia. All right, let's talk about being led by the Spirit this morning. This is called follow the leader. And the leader is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's our leader. We want to follow His voice. We want to let Him lead. Now, as we look in Scripture, there are prophets. There are prophecies. You hear a voice. We have the Bible. There are dreams. There are visions. How many understand God wants to guide you? That's one of the powerful things in relationship with the Lord. You don't have to struggle with God to get Him to talk to you. He wants to talk to His people. Isn't that cool? Now, I'm glad I'm in a relationship with Jesus that's personal. I would not want to be in one of those religions where there's a great big fat statue and that statue doesn't speak to you. I don't want to be in another land or in another place where or in another culture where they won't acknowledge Jesus as personal, but you have a myriad of gods to whom you speak, and none of them are talking back. The only leader of a religion that ever died and rose again is who? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Is who? I'm sorry, one more time. What's His name? Aren't you glad you're in relationship with Him? And you don't have to struggle to get Him to speak to you. He wants to talk. He speaks firmly. He speaks softly. The Holy Spirit, again, is not an it, but He wants to lead us as a living person, moment by moment. Let's look at some of the ways. Isaiah 30. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures outside of what's in front of you. Isaiah 30, verse 21. This verse, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Wherever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. How many ever have that prompting, that voice inside? You hear it. Don't go that way. Go this way. Come on, let's see a show of hands. You ever hear that? Don't go that way. Go this way. We call it conscience, a little voice. If you've surrendered your life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. One of the reasons It is so dangerous, and this is a bit of an aside, but one of the reasons it is so dangerous to turn aside to cultish religions, to turn aside whether it's movie, books, turn aside to other things that are off color or off the mark. They're not on the button. They're not on the line. Turn aside to other things that are not scriptural. Is when you put those things into your soul, you have to question the leadings you get. There are a lot of voices out there speaking, don't you know? Come on, say amen or oh no. A lot of voices out there speaking. A lot of promptings, a lot of leadings. If you stay close to Jesus, in His Word, in prayer, in the Bible, in church where there's other Christian saints to strengthen you and help you, you become one who has their discernment exercised, the Bible says. And you begin to strengthen your listening muscle. How many want really strong listening muscles? To be able to hear the Lord. So it's important what we listen to. We want to follow His voice. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. This is powerful. He said, "Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains, broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." So it was, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and he stood at the entrance to the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him. Tell me, which one was God in? The big show? The still, small voice, more powerful than the fire, the whirlwind, and the earthquake. And God spoke to him. Said, that's a whole humorous scripture in and of itself. 1 Kings 19, because God says, what are you doing in here, Elijah? Elijah went to a cave and he ran away because he was afraid, if you recall. All right. Now, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit, it says. That Greek word, koulo, is to stop. They were prevented. They were forbidden. They were literally hindered from moving into a certain area. They were making their way up here through Iconia and Lystra, and they were on their way to Phrygia, but God would not let them go into Asia. And so they kept trying to determine which way. It's kind of like, you ever feel or see those things in animation where they're bumping down the sides of the hallway as they're making their way? Have you ever walked down a dark hallway at night? You ever done that? A couple of weeks ago, I got up in the middle of the night, I think I shared this with you, but I literally slammed my toe into a door jamb. I wish I'd slammed it into a door that moved, but I slammed it into a door jamb that did not. And I learned very rapidly, that's a wall, not an opening. So do not, I could have stood there and slammed my toes against that wall all day long. I would have not made any progress. And I would have turned out black and blue. Okay, so sometimes it feels like that. And life goes bam, bam, bam. Okay, no, yes. How many like the yeses of God? Okay, so it's sometimes like that, but the Holy Spirit forbade them. The scripture says the Spirit suffered them not to go into another area here. That literally means God did not permit them. Iaho is the Greek word, Iaho. Say it with me, Iaho. You're all Greek scholars this morning. Iaho. It means He did not permit them. He did not leave them alone to go into that land. How many remember Hebrews 6, verse 3 in our foundation study? This we will do, we will go on, is basically saying, and this we will do if God, what? Permits. When you're building, you got to do a building what? Permit. And sometimes it's a hassle to get a building permit, right? Doctors Carl and Jerry Martin, it's a hassle sometimes. And some of the rest of you who've built things, you know it's a hassle to get that permit. And you've got to qualify for the next step. And so you've got to be in motion in order to be guided. So these guys were up and moving, following God. And God said, no, not here. God wasn't issuing a building permit to go in and build in that area. So the Holy Spirit permits. You realize the Holy Spirit also acts as an umpire in your life. The Spirit, God, the Scripture says, "Let the what? Peace of God rule in your life. Like an umpire. Ever do anything wrong? Don't look so sanctimonious. You ever do anything wrong? Did you ever feel like that umpire, the Holy Spirit, was behind a plate? And did he go, ball? Is that what the Holy Spirit did when he did something wrong?
No.
I didn't see that pitch. Now, what did he do? In your ear, in your hearing, you hear, strike! Yeah, okay. Then you do it again, strike two. You don't want to get to strike three, right? Okay, so the Spirit of God rules as an umpire in our life, if we will let Him. What I'm trying to talk about this morning is, how do we follow the Spirit? We need to listen. And we need to, if we're going to connect with the ball, we need to not turn aside, but listen to His leadings. I'm throwing out lots of metaphors. Hopefully some of them will mean more to some than others. But we all need to be able to relate this morning. You understand, some things and activities in our lives either bring us peace or agitation of soul, right? You either have peace or agitation. Some call it conscience, a little voice, etc. He will guide you. Sometimes we're walking down the road and you'll hear Christians describe it that way. Oh man, I just sense a lot of red flags on that thing. There's a lot of caution signs, a lot of red flags. I don't feel good about that. How do Christians learn to hear the voice of God? You give your life to Him. You surrender to Him. Baptism in the Holy Spirit helps. And you're praying. And then speaking in tongues. You stay in the Word. You stay in church. And you worship. And you get close to other people. And you got others in your life like Cecil look at me and go, no, that's the wrong plug-in. Don't do that one. I can help you learn how to do that electricity a little bit better. And others in life can mentor you, just like the Holy Spirit can mentor you and guide you. No, don't turn that way. There's prophecy, there's pastoral help. We need to learn to listen. But again, the checks of the Lord. Sometimes it means yes, go do something. Sometimes it means no. Sometimes it means not at this time. Now, these regions that we've just talked about were forbidden at this time. Does that mean it was sinful for all time for the gospel to go in there? Not at all. At this time, it was not. In fact, the regions that were forbidden now, this is the area of the Ephesians, of course. We have the letter to the Ephesians that was preached to and was reached at a later time. We are in the middle as a congregation of a time where we are following the voice of the Spirit to our next steps. And it really is the voice of the Lord leading us, isn't it? And we're watching it be confirmed, congregation. So, anyway, all right. Now, in the New Testament, can you imagine the frustration in the heart of Paul the Apostle, wanting to go preach the gospel, knowing he's called to preach the gospel, and then all of a sudden, he keeps hearing no from the Lord. What do you mean, no? Lord, I'm called to go preach. Well, what do you mean, no? How come you're closing these doors? Don't these people need salvation? Can you imagine the arguing match? Can you imagine? Paul was a fairly strong personality. That's an understatement, don't you think? It was fairly strong. Oh, Lord. Let me in! I could just imagine the arguing going on, or maybe he was more surrendered than that at that time. But then he does hear from God. Imagine the restlessness. And then God says, all right, it's time to go. And how did he do that? He brings in a vision, a dream. How does the Holy Spirit lead? With visions, with dreams. Acts 16, verses 9 and 10, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision, immediately, say it with me, immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, notice, again, people rarely ask for help. Notice, the Macedonian man in the vision asked for help. Come over and help us. Now, what we need to understand in here is we are at the pinnacle of all philosophy, wonderful architecture, fantastic riches, Roman and Greek culture together, the ages, all of the philosophies, all had come together. But was that meeting the need of the soul? Riches? Education? Philosophy? Was it meeting the need? Come on, church, was it? No, they were bankrupt. And so there is a need. Now notice in that vision, the man in the vision doesn't say, we know we need it. We know we need your help. It doesn't say that. It just says, help. It doesn't say, we know we need your Jesus. They didn't know who Jesus was, but they did need help. They had come to the end of what they had themselves. Luke is traveling with them, of course. We've already referred to that. When you see the we pronoun begin to be used, the best antiquitous way to get history accurately was from an eyewitness, and Luke was an eyewitness. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says this was not a cry of conscious desire for the gospel, the Macedonian man, but of a deep need for it and a heart ready to receive it. All right. Let me just make another aside. How many of you understand there might be some risk to obeying the Lord? You understand that? How many of you understand there's a greater risk to not obeying the Lord? As your leaders in this church, your pastors, your advisory council, the leadership team of this church, I want you to clearly understand, Door of Grace, where we stand. We stand for obeying the Lord and taking the risk that obedience might require much more than disobeying the Lord. As for me and my house, say it with me, we will serve the Lord. There may be a risk, but if you do what God's calling you to do, how many of you understand the risk is God? But let us always be found in the position of saying we will obey Him. We will take the risk. If it means we look like fools, we will do it. We will look like fools. If it means we follow the prompting of the Spirit and you go share Jesus with Aunt Charlie because you felt led to and Aunt Charlie died a week ago. I was a little joke. Maybe we're all tired this morning. You ever felt led to go do something for somebody and they've moved out of the countryside? You might have missed it. Okay, let's take the risk for obeying the Lord than for disobedience. I don't want to be found in a disobedient camp. What that means is we are trying to follow the Lord right here as a congregation. Let's see if the Lord opens the door. He does. Let's see if they'll sell something to us. They're willing. Let's see if they'll sell it at this price. Yes. Let's come up. I feel led to come up here to the building because somebody's going to be up here looking at the building. They were. They loved it. They do. They still want it. We want to move. It's all a risk. But let's be found obeying the Lord. All right, simple points, but we're talking about following the leader, following the Spirit. Okay, it's far riskier to disobey. All right, God chooses the place. Number three, let God choose the place. If you're taking notes, God speaks and let us respond. Number three, let God choose the place. Therefore, verses 11 and 12, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, the next day to Neapolis, from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city in that part of Macedonia, a colony. We were staying in that city for some days. When they were traveling over there by ship, they had a great wind behind them. It took them one day to get there. If the wind is at your front instead of at your back, it takes 5 days to get the other way, to get there with the wind fighting you, and it took them only one day to get there. This was a seaport city, Samothrace and Neapolis, and Neapolis, they traveled from there. Let's see, here's, can you see any of this? Okay, and when they get over to this direction, they travel another 10 days, or let's see, 10 miles rather, on the Via Ignatia to Philippi. So they're up in this region now. Okay, this way? Great, there they are, that's it. Anyway, they travel over 10 miles to get to Philippi. Now, Philippi, quite clearly, Luke reads and writes about Philippi, and he's thoroughly proud of his city. This was possibly, some commentators say, where Luke went to medical school in Philippi. So he's got a real heart for this city, and so did the Apostle Paul. And there's a whole story about Philippi and how the Romans set people into this colony, and they took it over. It was a military outpost, etc., but I'm not going to go more into that. The Jewish population at Philippi was very limited. I'm going to say that to you and give you a little background on that because I think it's important to understand. It was a very limited Jewish culture here because it takes at least 10 Jews to start a synagogue.
When they went to find the Jewish worshipers, they went out to the river, not to a synagogue. That means there weren't at least 10 Jewish men to start a synagogue. Okay? But there were hungry people looking for a relationship with God. Now, I love this. Hang in here. I just love this because this tweaks the legalists. A Macedonian man is in Paul's vision, and Paul and his companions, first of all, go to where the women are. Because they were hungry for the Holy Spirit. And God finds willing hearts first among them. Now, in the Greek culture, women played a great part in the spiritual life. But they didn't have much teaching. Their hearts were very responsive to the teaching of Paul. And that leads us to our next section. A woman named Lydia hears Paul. Acts 16, verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now, Thyatira was known for its dyeing guilds and its textiles, and business people became quite prosperous working among the purple that was sold to the people of wealth in this day and in this region. She probably was a freed woman, perhaps a former slave who is now freed, and she was in a business occupation making purple. She was a seller of purple cloth. This color purple probably came from a shellfish or from the root of a plant. She was a worshiper of God. Now, that term was used for a Gentile. She was not a Jew, and she was not even necessarily a proselyte to Judaism, but she did worship Yahweh and wanted to know Him. She was hungry. Say, hungry. Say, I'm hungry. She was hungry, and she went out, was willing to close the doors on Sunday morning to her business and say yes to God and seek Him, though she didn't know Him personally. In my own business, I close the doors on Sunday morning. I don't have a business that's open on Sunday morning. If other agents want to do things on Sunday morning around town, that's fine, they're welcome to. I'm not there on Sunday morning. I'm in the house of God on Sunday morning. Amen? Nevertheless, they were not in the New Testament church. They were a proselyte or a young, small group of people, and they were hungry. The scripture says she worshipped God. Sebamahi, it means to revere and to adore the Lord. She had a hungry heart, and Jesus came to meet it. Do you realize if your heart's hungry for the Lord, God will meet you? This is just an aside. Do you realize if you come to church Sunday morning and there's hunger in your spirit, God will meet you? When you come to church Sunday morning, do you say, Lord, move today and change my life? Do you say that? Lord, speak to my heart for the Word of God. You say, Lord, I want to go and fellowship with others who want to grow with you. Lord, bless Pastor Kevin and bless my pastors and bless us in worship today and change my heart by the Word of God. Is that how you come to church? Oh, Lord, I'm glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Change me today. Is that what's in your heart? Hungry people meet with God. And she was hungry. A Macedonian man in a vision had said, come on over. This is the first group of people that Paul the Apostle found. And the Bible says he opened her heart. She put forth effort. She went to the riverside, and God spoke to her heart. Not only was God at work in this woman's heart, but the Holy Spirit had been working in Paul's heart. Hang in here with me. You realize if you were a Pharisee, almost daily, your prayer was threefold. You remember Paul was a Pharisee, right? Remember what the Pharisee prayer was? Ever heard about it? Commentators will say that Pharisees would pray this way. Lord, I thank Thee, every day they pray, I thank Thee that I'm not a Gentile, I'm not a slave, and I'm not a woman. Now, Paul the Apostle was Pharisee of Pharisees, but God worked in his life, and he was the one who later recorded, there's neither male nor female. They are all one in Christ Jesus. And how beautiful that Paul the Apostle is looking for hungry people, following the Spirit. Straightway, the Spirit said, go to Macedonia. He says, get up, boys, we got a place to go. They go on over to Macedonia, they go to the riverside, and he speaks first and leads a woman to Christ. Isn't God cool? I just think the Lord is so neat. We sat down and began speaking. Paul, Silas, Timothy, Each took their turn preaching, giving testimony. Can you see Lydia's heart sitting there hungry on the edge of her seat? They probably didn't have a chair. Just moving forward, inching forward, inch by inch to the speakers, listening to them. Oh, God, speak to me. I'm just so hungry for you, Lord. I'm listening and I'm hearing about Jesus. I've never known Jesus before. And this Paul is telling me that he went through a cross for me. And, oh, I can be forgiven and I can be delivered and I can have a personal relationship with God. And that's what I've wanted all my days. Personal relationship with God, and his name is Jesus. Paul didn't have to go to the high and mighty. Found a woman named Lydia. And Lydia became the first known convert in Europe. The first known convert in Europe. A woman hungry for God. Verse 15, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Her heart opened, she heeded, she paid attention, she responded, she was baptized, and then she constrained the apostles to stay. Now this is beautiful. This became the nucleus for a little church called the Philippians. And a letter was written to the Philippians. And her home became the location for this little church. She urged the company to stay. By the way, did you catch where Lydia was from? First convert was not only a woman, but she was a woman from Thyatira in Asia, the very area where Paul had been forbidden in the Spirit to go. God weaves it all together. How many of you think messages began to come to relatives in Thyatira about the moving of the Spirit? Some of the areas Paul was forbidden to go into, God gave to the hands of Peter to lead people and have a great ministry in those areas. And some of the areas Paul simply went back to later. But he obeyed the Lord. He heard the leading of the Spirit. He obeyed the Lord. He found a few women at the riverside, and namely the first European convert named Lydia, who was hungry for God. Now we're talking about the following the leading of the Spirit. I'm going to finish with one very simple thing. There's an old story at a place on the Mississippi River where it's particularly treacherous, the bends in the river. And you don't dare go up because if you do, at a wrong location, you will get your riverboat, boats, whatever they might be, shipping vessels, lodged on shoals. They will break apart and it will be for naught. So what they have finally did, after so many shipwrecks, they decided to create on different shores three lights, a series of three lights. And they said, if you're going to safely navigate those waters, you have to put your ship in such a vessel, or your vessel in such a location, that those three lights become one. And then you can navigate, and you keep going straight up the river with straight course to that straight line with one light. And that was used early in my Christian life as an analogy for following the Spirit. There are three things that need to come together. Number one is the Word of God. Is this leading? Is this thing that I want to do scriptural? Is it scriptural? Is it in good accordance with the Bible? And how about biblical counselors, my pastors, and Bible counseling? Is this in line with the Word of God? Secondly, is this in line with the peace of God? Do I have peace as I look and consider this situation or decision? Let the peace of God rule as an umpire in your life. Then thirdly, do the circumstances come together? Is it according to the Word? Do I have peace? And do the doors open up? If they don't open up, it might not mean no forever, but it might mean no for a time. And when you've got the Word, the peace and the circumstances, you can go forward following the Spirit of the Lord. Church, I want us to be, and I want to be, a person and a congregation who listens to the Spirit, who obeys Him, and finds fruit in our life and ministry by following the leader. Amen? Let's stand, shall we? Elaine, would you come, please? And let's close with that song that we played earlier. I love Him because He first loved me. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart. There's something on your heart for which you need fresh guidance. Ask God to speak to you, and feel free to come on up for prayer. We'll be happy to pray with you. If you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord, this is the day to do so. He loves you. Ask Him to come in and begin to guide you. If you need healing of your body, come on up and we'll be happy to pray for you, because we believe the Holy Spirit brings healing power. Amen? I love Him.